Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for using what Max shared in such a powerful way. And thank you that it shows us how much you care about our suffering, our pain. You care about our hurts. And you know when it's hard for us to keep going. And you meet us with whatever level of your presence and your healing that we need. And we all need healing in different areas of our lives. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for believing the lie that you don't care because you haven't spoken. We haven't had an experience like Max had. But Lord, it doesn't mean that you failed. It means that our trust level is low. So Heavenly Father, we cry out to you tonight. And we ask that everyone in this room who has issues, they don't understand why you've let certain things happen or why certain things are going on in their lives right now. Father, we choose to trust you. If you never give us an explanation, if we never have an out-of-body experience, you know what we need. Forgive us for thinking that you have failed, for thinking that what you've done isn't right, because you're perfect. You are our comforter, and you've promised to comfort us in all of our affliction. You are our comforter. We receive grace to do our part and forgive whoever's involved, whether it's you, whether it's someone, whether it's ourselves for our failures, our sins, the stupidities that we do. Holy Spirit, we come to you. We're needy. We're so needy. We can fake it. Like we've got it all together, but we don't. Thank you that you are there for us, to guide us, to teach us, to give us what we need, to use your word, to bring life and healing, restoration, hope, peace, joy, reconciliation, whatever the need is. Oh, Father, you're the perfect dad that none of us ever had. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you see us in ways that we don't even see ourselves. And we just say tonight that we choose to trust you. We bless your name. Thank you for your word, for giving us hope, for meeting us in our place of need. We bless you, precious Heavenly Father. Amen. Because there's so much maturity in this church, I'm going to teach something that I've never really taught from this perspective. And if I were to give this a title, I would say, learning to recognize subtle levels of unforgiveness in our lives. I don't think there's anyone in here who wouldn't know if they really had strong, strong resentment toward another person. I don't think that's where our problem lies. I think, you know, most of the time we recognize it because we feel it. And if we get around that person, you know, we either feel real uncomfortable or we may not even want to be around that person. Or every time we think about that person, it may be just, you know, it's like. But there are a lot of levels that are so subtle that we miss them. And we're aware of the fact that we've lost the peace and presence of the Lord, but we don't tie it to anything because it's not one of those, you know, heavy-duty offenses where we're just, you know, like we're urged to kill, so to speak. They're subtle. So there are basically four groups of issues relating to this. Forgiveness is always going to be toward a person. It's going to be toward to another person. It's going to be to ourselves. Or it's going to be with the Lord. But the two most difficult ones to see are the ones with the Lord and with ourselves. Somehow, in our twisted carnal mind, it's easy to think that it's spiritual to be angry with ourselves, to not be merciful with ourselves. It's very clear from Scripture that we're to be merciful with others. But somehow inside, it's easy to be twisted and feel like, you know, I'm so spiritual that I should hate myself for whatever I did or didn't do. That was the, you know, I did something I should never have done. I failed. I failed God. I failed myself. I failed whoever it was that was involved. And the enemy loves for us to have that resentment toward ourselves. And he especially loves it when we have that resentment toward the Lord. And I'm here to tell you tonight that it's very possible for us to sincerely love the Lord and to be a person that has a significant level of maturity and be completely blinded to the reality that I am angry with the Lord for circumstances in my life that I can't fit into my theology that the Lord is good and he's always good, that he's perfect and that even his timing is always perfect. And it's so easy to get stuck there. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says something very interesting. It's Proverbs 19:3. You don't need to turn there, but it says, the foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Isn't that an interesting verse? And I know there are people who say, oh, I'm so spiritual, I never get mad at God. I'm like, really? Would you please lay hands on me? Because I haven't quite gotten there. Actually, I still have a long ways to go. It doesn't say, you know, the fool's heart rages again. It says, we're capable, very capable, of being angry with the Lord, and we're not even aware of it. It took me years being away from my parents to realize how much anger and bitterness I had toward them. If you'd ask me, do you hate your parents? Well, of course not. I'm a Christian. What are you talking about? Hate's not in my vocabulary. And one day the Holy Spirit said, Joel, Have you noticed that whenever you talk about your parents, you never say anything positive? It's all just one negative commentary. I was like, I mean, what could I say? I realized it was true. It was true. I never said anything about all the good qualities that my parents had. All I did was, you know, complain about this, 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 and this. And I didn't appreciate their good, you know, I didn't value their qualities, their good qualities. My parents had many good qualities. And like all people, they had their defects. We're all in the same family, right? But we want others to give us grace, and many times we're not willing to give it to others. And the Bible says so much about forgiveness, but here again, the enemy is a deceiver, and he's a blinder, if that is even a word. He blinds our eyes. And I find in my daily walk with the Lord that in the course of the day, it's very easy for me to have what I would call little offenses that build up. And I may be so busy, I may be thinking about so many things that I really just kind of, I don't even pay attention, you know, it's like I don't even think. But it can be something as simple as a truck driver pulling up behind you and you're driving in the third, the far right lane on the interstate. And this truck driver gets on your butt and starts flashing his lights. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I would love to just slam my brakes on and then pull over to the median lane or something. Just, okay, so I'm not driving 70 like you are. I'm driving 60. There are two other passing lanes. What is your problem? It's like, you know, this is the slow lane. I love to drive 60. If I'm running a little late, I'll drive 70. But I don't drive that speed except in the far right lane on a three-lane interstate. That just. But it's like, you know, I don't pull out my shotgun and you know, shoot one of his tires. Okay, I just kind of brush it aside, but I realize that I need to forgive that guy for being a jerk. You know, it's not hatred. It's what I would call a low-level resentment. And the interesting thing is that the Holy Spirit is so incredible. I find that when I go to Walmart or a supermarket or a store, and when you get behind somebody who's taking, you know, 10 minutes to pay their bill and they're looking through their pocket and pulling out pennies trying to pay, you know, and you're just sitting there going, having a panic attack because you can't get in and out of, you know, it's messed up your schedule. And you planned this was going to be, you know, this was going to be a run in the store. You're going to run in and you're going to run out. And it didn't turn out that way. And I can gauge my level of unresolved conflict by the severe impatience that I have at that particular moment. Because normally it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's like, okay, so this person, you know, can't find their money in their wallet or whatever it is that's going on. And I really believe the Lord is calling us to have increased sensitivity to the low-level offenses of life that we all go through. It can be something as simple as, you know, getting stuck in a traffic jam. Is there anyone here that likes to get stuck in traffic jams? Do you? Okay. Especially when you're on the interstate and you need to be somewhere. I have a job where I'm driving places to interpret for doctors, okay? So if I get stuck on the interstate, you know, it's not a good feeling because depending on where the next exit is, you know, you could be arriving significantly late to your job, okay? And so when I see, you know, when you finally catch up and find out, you know, why this traffic jam is there, you know, my flesh would like to say, roll down the window and go, thanks a lot for your wreck. I really appreciate it. You know, now I'm 20 minutes late and the doctor's not going to be very pleased. That's not a high-level offense, okay? That's a low-level offense. I don't think anyone plans to have a wreck or plans, you know. Maybe some people do. I don't know. I guess some of them do. I'm wrong. I actually had a patient at Westcott that killed herself that way. And it broke my heart because she could come in and I had prayed with her. And she was a believer. And she couldn't get a job, and so she wrecked her car, you know, killed herself. She tried it the first time, and it didn't work. So, having worked in psychiatric hospitals and having run a counseling center for years in Atlanta, it's so neat to be able to look at people and go, you know, I don't know what's happened to you. I don't know what kind of traumas you have in your life unless you tell me. But God's solution is always the same. You'll never be well when you're hanging on to high levels of bitterness and anger and rage. So I'm going to assume that most of us, if not maybe perhaps all of us, that's not the issue. For us, it's the low levels of anger that are the ones that rob us of our joy, that steal our peace, and that keep us distracted because we're not in tune with Holy Spirit in that respect. You know, you make an arrangement to go out with somebody and you're going to meet, you know, maybe meet them at a restaurant or Starbucks or wherever. And they show up, you know, 40 minutes late. Don't call. I thought that was what cell phones were for. To let you know they're going to be there late. Okay. Is that a grave offense? No, but it is an offense. And my flesh doesn't like it any more than your flesh. You know, it's like if you're going to be late, well, you know, a text, a call, something, you know, and said, let me know you're going to be 40 minutes late. That's, to me, that's just common courtesy. It has nothing to do really with, well, it does, but it's an issue of just human relationships. You respect people. You respect their time. You let them know if something is, you know, messed the plan up and is putting things on a different schedule. So what is one of the biggest hindrances? This is something that really, really, really has helped me so much. You know, when I went through a period of just ridiculous rebellion after I had graduated from seminary and my life fell apart and I was furious with God. I was furious with the girl that I had planned to marry, and I had shared that last time, and she blew me off and said she had never loved me and called off everything. So, life is very challenging at times. Very challenging. But God is never at fault for our struggles. And just like with Max, He knows what we need, when we need it. And His heart is the heart of a father. What father, what mother who sees their children suffering is going to play games with them and ignore the pain that they see is going on? You know, what father, what mother wouldn't stay up all night if necessary if their kid was really that sick? Probably very few. Certainly, hopefully not in here. But I had to make a decision, and this is where a lot of us get stuck. If I haven't made a quality decision before the Lord that I am going to forgive every offense, regardless of whether it's a big one or a little one, and I'm going to do it as soon as I recognize that I need to do it. If I haven't made that choice, guess what? I'm going to have to decide and think about whether I'm going to do it or not. You know, when I was married, I didn't have to think about the opportunities to be unfaithful. Those weren't even options. I mean, it's like, that is just not, I mean, you know, that's not even, you know, the minute that comes, it's just like, you know, it's going right back where it came from. Why is that? Well, because it's not an option. If unforgiveness is an option, I'm going to get caught. And the sad thing is that the longer we wait to let go of resentments, however small or great they may be, I like to tell people, you know, 10 little resentments are the same as one huge resentment. And imagine what happens over the course of time when I'm not letting go, when I'm not confessing and forgiving. What does it mean to forgive in the first place? Well, the Bible uses a bookkeeping term, and it basically means to cancel a debt. That's the essence of what forgiveness is. And there are portions in the scripture that we could look at, but we don't have enough time to do that right at this particular moment. But when I've made the decision, then it's much easier for me because I already made that decision. You know, even in my rebellious period, I would go to parties where everyone was smoking pot and drinking, and they'd be showing pornography. And I would just look at them all like, in spite of the fact that I was so, you know, rebellious, I would just look at them and go, that's stupid. Who needs pot? Who needs alcohol? Who needs pornography? I would sit there and laugh and say, I don't get the plot. Can you please tell me the plot? I just don't get it. I'm surprised somebody didn't shoot me. I mean, I'm ashamed to even admit, you know, but to me it was just like stupid. And it wasn't entertaining. It wasn't something I really was interested in seeing, in spite of where I was spiritually at the time. So we close the door when we make that decision, and then we don't have to consider, because the longer we wait to let go of resentment, however small or great it happens to be, the stronger it gets. And it's so sad to me to look at people, you know, who are basically dead in their spirit because they're holding on to so much resentment. Likewise, it's sad to me to see believers who don't have those, you know, they've dealt perhaps with their, you know, their big, huge resentments, but they've got low-level resentments that they don't even see. You know, God, I don't get it, you know. Do you ever find yourself getting angry that God hasn't answered a prayer that you've been praying for maybe decades? I mean, maybe you've never told Him that, but what's in your heart? I have. You know, I mean, how many years, how many decades do you pray for something before It's like maybe it's time to change the way you pray and say, thank you, God, your timing is different than mine. Okay. One thing the Lord has shown me on that is that I need to change the way. I just need to start thanking God for the answer and stop asking Him for that particular thing. I know the Lord stopped me. I kept praying about my finances years ago when my wife divorced me. I got stuck with debts that weren't really mine. I was just barely getting by. I mean, barely getting by. I was paying the minimum on my credit cards. You know, it was not cool. I mean, I actually slept in my office. They didn't know it, to not have to commute to Chattanooga and drive back and forth. Slept in a recliner. And my boss didn't know it. I wasn't real happy. And I was just like, God, you know, where are you? Where are you? He's right where He's supposed to be. I had to make the choice to trust Him. And Lord, I'm not going to judge you for what my wife decided to do. I'm not going to hold it against her, and I'm not going to hold it against you. And I'm not going to beat myself either. Okay. Those are choices. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. And let me just add this. The enemy loves to condemn us because we don't feel like forgiving. I would say most of the time. Honestly, I don't feel like forgiving. But thank God, the Lord doesn't judge me for those feelings. He judges me for my choices. And I don't forgive because I feel like it. I forgive because the Lord commands me to forgive as the Lord has forgiven us because of what Christ did on the cross. Okay? So it's like, Joel, you are being totally incongruent. The Lord has forgiven you for all of your sins, and you're saying, I don't know. I'm not so sure I'm going to forgive this person. I'm not so sure. What's the hardest thing that you've ever forgiven? Think about it. What are some of the hardest things that you're just like? You know, the Lord is so reasonable. We can come to the Lord and say, God, there's a part of me that just does not want to forgive this offense. And I'm asking you, I'm being honest with you, God. You know what's in my heart. I'm not sure I really want to forgive them. But I'm asking you to work in my heart. I need your grace to even consider this as an option. I want to, in my spirit, in my flesh, it's like that's the last thing that I want to do. Why? Because unforgiveness is a form of revenge. Do you know that? When I refuse to forgive someone for their offense, it's actually a form of revenge. It's like, I'm going to make you suffer. Or at least it's going to give me a sense of satisfaction. But that's our flesh in action. And our flesh is ugly. It's sinful. But it's not a sin to have feelings like we don't want to forgive. It's a sin when we refuse to do it. Amazing. Well, I think I could teach, you know, 4 Sunday nights on forgiveness. We've just kind of scraped the top. And I was like, Lord, I don't ever remember being taught about forgiveness. Growing up in a Bible environment, honestly, I really don't ever remember being taught on forgiveness, which is pretty sad. Pretty sad when you go to Christian schools and you're in chapel every day and you go to 6 services on Sunday. You memorize Bible verses. As a child, we memorized 6 Bible verses every week. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for the light when we listen to Holy Spirit and He opens our eyes to see where we missed it, where we're mad at Him for not coming through the way we expected, for not answering the prayers that we have faithfully prayed, for allowing us to suffer sometimes with illnesses that don't seem to have any remedy, even after going to doctors and doctors and doctors and more doctors. Whatever it is, for allowing a child of ours to die. You know, my father-in-law, his dad died when he was 12. And when his mom got remarried, it was not a good experience for him. He had planned to be a priest, I guess a Catholic priest, from the time he was quite young. And then he lost his first grandson to leukemia at the old age of 3.5 years. That was my wife's first son through her first marriage. And at that point, he just wrote God off the chart. Okay? You know, the Lord is so good, but a fallen heart, our flesh just many times doesn't want to believe it when things don't go the way we've asked for or the way we expect. And what we do with that determines where we're going to go in our spiritual walk with the Lord. I haven't arrived yet, just so you know. I'm still in process, and I'm learning that the little resentments are the ones that I need to really check up on and listen to Holy Spirit when I give Him the time and just say, God, why am I feeling all, I'm just feeling blah. Why, you know? Yeah, remember that truck driver you were on the way to work today? Remember that person who doesn't know how to merge on the interstate and you just about had a wreck trying to, you know, get out of their way so that they could, you know, make it without crashing into you. If I ever tell myself that I can't forgive, I'm lying to myself. I'm believing the lie of the enemy. Because I can forgive anyone for anything that I choose to. And yes, we all need the grace of God. But it's available when we come to Him and we say, Lord, I need Your grace right now to let this offense go, to cancel this debt, however big, however small. I need Your grace to cancel all the little debts that came up in the course of the day. You know, somebody who looked at me cross-eyed. You know, the person, the bank teller who was rude, who was impersonal, the doctor who had no tact when he told me what a serious, you know, terminal condition that I have. And he told me as if, you know, he was announcing that, well, you have, you know, 3 pimples that are, you know, terminal on your nose that we need to do some chemo for. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You are so patient with us. Forgive us for thinking we know more about what is best for us than You do. That sounds so absurd to even say, but it's true. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for being so arrogant to think that we know what is best for our lives and for the lives of our family and other people. Forgive us for judging you for things you have allowed that we can't seem to understand why or how, being the loving, perfect Father that you are, that you would do that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for opening our eyes and changing our hearts. Thank you for dissolving the hardness of heart that we have, for allowing these offenses to accumulate. And Lord, we receive by faith grace to start confronting these little offenses or big offenses, if they are, and choosing to forgive, choosing to cancel the debt. Lord, give us grace to choose forgiveness as a way of life without exception, no matter how grave the offense, no matter how devastating, that we choose by an act of our will against our feelings that tell us no. Thank you that the Christian life is simple. It's not complicated. So we invite you to open our eyes to the truth of the glorious liberty that we have through Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through obedience, through faith and trust. And we bless you. We bless your holy, holy, righteous, beautiful name, Jesus. Thank you.